Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Mark. I've seen so many new faces. It's so good. It's so good to be here. Good to be back. Kinda. It's good to be back. I'm so excited. And thank you for your welcome and well wishes and putting no pressure on me as I come to speak. But it's a privilege. It's always a privilege to be able to share God's word. And for those of you who do not know me, who do not know this guest speaker, I am Michael. I am one of the pastors here at Mount Pleasant, but I lead the Honeywood campus. And so most of Sundays, I am down at Honeywood. It was a bit strange coming to Booragoon this morning, but I saw some familiar faces up on the stage. So I think it's okay. I'm in good company. Good company. Thank you for your love and your support, your prayers for Honeywood, because I know you're so eager to hear what's happening down there. By the grace of God, all I can say, it is well. It is well, and we feel like, I mean, we're 1.5 years old already, and we feel like we're taking steps now, right? We're taking steps, and we're exploring, and we're engaging, and there are people from community who have joined us, and on an average, we have about 90 that gather on a Sunday morning. Very intergenerational, all the ones from newly born, to all the way to our seniors, and very international flavor, right? Very diverse, blessed Sunday gathering. And it's beautiful down there. You know, daylight today, we'll have grass on the, just outside of where we gather. And there's a farmer's market as well that happens. So we get the smells from the farmer's market, the noise from the farmer's market, but also the people from the farmer's market. They come and they say, hey, what's going on here? And we have had people join us because they came to the farmer's market and knew that there was a church here. And we just give all the praise and the glory to God for what he's doing down there. So thank you for your support, love and prayers. I can go on talking about Honeywood and some of the stories, but I'm here to actually preach today, so I'm going to do that. You are amazing. God is amazing. And we live in a beautiful city, do we not? There we go. Look at that. What a beautiful city. And this city has changed over the years. I came here in 1979, and it's changed a lot. Even our airport has changed a lot. I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago how there was only one airport, Perth International and Domestic Airport, and there was no security. You just walk in and you can walk straight onto the tarmac, really, right? I don't know if you guys remember those days. There was a fountain in the middle, and yes. How our city has changed. And in future, it will continue to change. You know, the recent passing of Pope Francis, and next week, as Jonathan mentioned, we have the federal election. All these things that happen globally and locally does impact and influence our lives. It brings a changing culture. And the culture of the time has the power to influence our values, our beliefs, and behaviors in the way we live. And it's so often assumed as a Christian that there are only two ways for us to engage with our cities in cultural change. We can choose to become overly protective and break away, opposed to it, or we can choose to assimilate, embrace the culture of the world into the church. But what does Jesus say? He says in John 17 that we are to be in the world, but what? But not of the world. In other words, we are not called to break away or to over-adapt and be accommodating to the world. that it influences the church and our values and our beliefs. Instead, we are called to be a countercultural community of God's people, to be a light to the world and salt to the earth. So today I have the privilege of closing our current series with the title, At the Cross We Find Power. The power to be a countercultural, alternative community of God's people who are in the world, but not of the world, because of the cross. Because of the cross, we are not the same. A community of believers who are called to be holy, to be set apart, to be the light and the salt of the world. Why? Because by the grace of God, we have been saved. By the grace of God, we've been saved from sin and death. We have already received the power of salvation through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, redeemed into a right relationship with God by the grace of God through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus, to whose glory? To the glory of the Father, not us. It's not about us. It's actually about God. And we are commanded to go out and reach the lost, to share the good news of Jesus. But it's not easy to be countercultural, is it? It's not easy. It's not easy at all. In the world, yet not be of the world. In this beautiful city, in our workplaces, in our homes, children, young people, in our schools, how difficult it is to be countercultural. So the question for us, how do we live as a believer so that our life ushers in this countercultural community that instills hope, instills love, forgiveness, and most importantly, salvation that brings eternal life? What does it look like, and how do we do this? So at the core, what we're really asking is, how do we, rather than embracing the culture of the time, how do we embrace a gospel culture? That in all that we do, people are drawn to it and actually saved through Jesus Christ. So in his letter to the believers in Corinth, Paul addresses the heart of the Corinthians facing this very tension in their own context. The dangers of segregation and assimilation, which is really a threat to the gospel. And the approach and the words shared by Paul in 1 Corinthians is a way, not the only way, but a way for us to prepare and equip ourselves as we seek to engage our city, our workplace, the world, schools, the culture in saving the lost for the kingdom of God. So we're going to explore how Paul engages the Corinthians, who really allowed the culture to influence the church. And we're going to look at this under these three headings: a common cultural storyline, the biblical storyline, and rewriting the storyline. So the passage for us is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 25. And thank you, Luke. You've already got it up there for me. Thank you so much. If you got your Bibles, please open up your Bibles. If you got your devices, get them with you and follow through, because those words are going to go, but I encourage you to have your word. And I want to encourage you, come to church with your Bibles, please. This is the holy word of God. And when we gaze upon the word of God, we're actually gazing upon his face. And we're gazing upon the face of God. So I want to really encourage you to do that and model for our children as well, parents. read the Bible together. All right, that's my little rant. Okay. So, I want to take a sip. Thank you. Verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. 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 Indeed, this is God's word for us today. You know, Paul writes to the church at Corinth from Ephesus to address a deep issue that had plagued the Corinthian church as they related to the gospel. And to connect and communicate this shaping and transforming power of the gospel with them, Paul uses the language that was common and familiar to them, which had penetrated their hearts. He uses the language of the culture of the time, of honor, of esteem and success through wisdom and power, which the church had allowed into their hearts and began to influence the church from within. So the Corinthian church started to become church in the way the Corinthian culture was. They had embraced it, they had allowed it to come in. So Paul's connection point with the Corinthians was the cultural storyline of the time. So Paul engages the Corinthian church through the culture. For Paul, this letter is nothing short of a wrestling for affection and the allegiance of the Corinthians, of their heart to God, taking them away from the world and bringing them back to the truth of Scripture. So that they may love and live, radiating the gospel narrative rather than embracing a cultural narrative in the way they lived as a community of believers, that they will be countercultural. However, we know the divisions among them indicate that they were chasing after other loves in living this out as a Christian. They were no different to those outside of the church. They had absorbed and adopted the reigning storyline of their surrounding culture. They were actually finding their value and their purpose for their lives in the grand Corinthian cultural narrative of wisdom and power rather than the gospel narrative. Rather than inviting people into this beauty of the gospel, they discarded it, thinking it was foolish. So what does Paul say in verse 18? For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Gospel itself is the power of God. Do not embrace the cultural narrative which leads to death, but stay true to how they had come to faith in the first place, sharing the gospel, the preaching, the gospel of the good news of Jesus. Paul is directing them back to how they started. You know, we're not immune to be influenced by the cultural narrative. But as Paul did, we utilize the cultural narrative to engage with those around us and share the truth of the gospel. Paul continues, he says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age?" It is easy for us to miss these last three words, "of this age." Paul homes in to reveal the problem, the weakness and the powerlessness of what they believe to be powerful. You may seem this is powerful for this time, for now, but in reality, it is fleeting and it will pass. This has no eternal significance. It will not last. What you seem is powerful will not last. Now, we're going to continue to unpack the problem in our next point. But rather than embrace the culture, know the culture, speak into the culture in word and deed. And as we live as those who are set apart, in line with the biblical storyline, rather than the cultural storyline of the time, as a Christian, always be prepared with an understanding of the cultural narrative that you are immersed in. So let me give you this example. So when we commenced Honeywood, we had two churches come together as one to plant Honeywood, for those who don't know. And that church, the Vine Church, had a history of brokenness, pain, and hurt. And hence, they commenced a church. And they were at a point they needed some support and help. And God brought us together. So when we started, there were three cultural narratives in the church. There was the Mounties culture, there was the Vine culture, and there was the pain and hurt of the previous culture. So how do we begin the church? We said, we're going to pause and stop, and we're going to say, this church is going to embrace a gospel culture. We are not going to look at the cultural narrative of our past, but we're going to start something new and something fresh. So we started with an 8-week preaching series on what that looked like, and we established a new culture in the church. So hopefully I'll be able to unpack a bit more of what that looked like as we go through. So as we prepare with an understanding of the cultural storyline, then we equip ourselves with the truth of the biblical storyline. Our reading says in verse 20, "Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" So after stating that the worldly wisdom has no power and will not last, Paul goes on to question worldly wisdom. And that is what we need to do as well. We need to question the culture that we are in. Question the cultural narrative of the time and understand what Scripture has to say about it. Paul continues, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe." The overall view of this text reveals that worldly wisdom and power will not lead to salvation and in knowing God. And this was not attractive and compelling to the Corinthians. To them, it was foolishness because it did not make sense and conflicted with the cultural narrative. They believed that wisdom and power were and should be the way to influence people, to bring them to God. But the worldly wisdom and power which they sought after was for themselves and not for the salvation of the lost. We're going to pause here just to talk about the wisdom and power that the Corinthians were really pursuing. The Bible uses the word wisdom to describe skillful living that is aligned with the things of God. So wisdom is a good and right application of the biblical principles of to one's life, which comes from a heart that's oriented towards God. So our heart towards God, And what we learn from Scripture, that's what we apply, and that is wisdom. However, this was not the kind of wisdom that the Corinthians had embraced and embodied. When they thought of wisdom, they were primarily concerned about gaining intellectual knowledge that could be leveraged for the purpose of attaining influence and power. It was about them. It wasn't about God. It was about them. Wisdom, for them, it was viewed as a tool for achieving self-gain. So what does Paul say into this? Not through human wisdom and power, but through the foolishness of what was preached, would people come to be saved and come to know God. Not through the endeavors, the strivings, not through eloquent speech, or even winning arguments, but through what was preached. So what was preached? Because this is the biblical narrative. They preach Christ crucified. Paul preached Christ crucified. That was what was preached. The gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus. And that's where the power of salvation truly lies, nowhere else. So he leads to the last point. As we prepare ourselves with an understanding of the cultural narrative and equip ourselves with the biblical narrative in grace, through God's wisdom and power, we begin to rewrite the narrative. And this is how we engage our city, our workplace, our homes, our schools. For some of us, definitely not me, the gym. I know you go to the gym a lot. That's how we engage. And through the impact of the gospel on our people's lives lived out in and through us, it's the gospel that dwells within us. That comes out, that impacts people. So Paul begins to rewrite the storyline, bringing the right understanding of the truth of wisdom and power back to the cross. We too need to bring the cultural narrative back to the cross. Verse 23-24 reads, "But we preach Christ crucified, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." And that's how Paul starts it. But Paul then continues on in his letter. For the next four chapters, he unpacks it, he reveals it, he tugs on the heartstrings, and he explains it, and he explains, and he explains, and explains to the Corinthians what the biblical, what the gospel truth is. He addresses the culture. What you've picked up is actually powerless. It has no power. He understands the biblical storyline. It is the gospel that actually has the power. And he unpacks it for them. Not in an argumentative way, but with compassion, with love, enlightening them through the Holy Spirit over four chapters. Then he starts to address the issues. But how do we approach it? We want to go and bang, we want to start to address the issues, don't we? There is a better way. And towards end of chapter 4, Paul says this, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk." It's not a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Amen. Yes. And that power is Christ crucified. And when that absolutely dwells in us first, then can we see the cultural narrative and start to engage into that cultural narrative? That those who are lost, that those who are outside of these walls, that their hearts will be won over to Christ. Not to a church, not to a building, not to what my arguments or reasoning says, but to Christ. That their hearts are won over to Christ. You know, we are nothing had Jesus not died on the cross and was resurrected. So why will we embrace a narrative that is other than Jesus? Why would we? If I shared my narrative, oh my goodness, that's shocking. That's shocking and sometimes embarrassing. But when I start to share God within me, what He has done for me, I do believe this is compelling and that's warming to the people around because it gives them hope, it gives them life, and they understand to know about the forgiveness that they have received or can receive. You know, Paul comes back full circle. He began with the misunderstanding of wisdom and power of the world, how the Corinthians have embraced it, then stated the wisdom and power of God is actually Christ crucified, continuing on to unpack and explain how this is, bringing it right back where they started. That we live in and through by the power of God in the knowledge of Christ crucified, the gospel of good news of Jesus revealed to us through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, now empowers us. So when we go, we don't go in our own name. We go in Jesus' name. So Paul rewrites the narrative that the Corinthians hold on to and have a gospel narrative. So how about us? How might we, wherever God has placed us, rewrite the narrative of the gospel, the Christ-centered narrative? Well, I'm not going to give you the answer this week because we're going to do that over the next 8 weeks. I think 8 weeks. In a new series, we're going to be doing that because we need to take time with that. And what it means, and we need to unpack, and we need to allow the gospel truth to wash over us each and every day, each and every day. So from next week, we embark on our new series that is actually going to address into that as well, how we do this. So in closing, let me quote Hodge. He says this, "The doctrine of the cross, though regarded as absurd and powerless, has more power and wisdom than anything that ever proceeded from man." And my prayer for us is from the words of Paul in Romans. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Amen. Faith in who? In our Christ crucified, in Jesus. That's where true power lies, in the gospel of Jesus. And no matter what we may be facing now, today, let's be a counter-cultural community as we prepare to engage the world, equipping ourselves with the gospel, that we may be an instrument of His grace in rewriting the brokenness of this world, wherever He has placed us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You at the cross we find power to live on this side of eternity, not in our wisdom or our strength, but in yours. Not only to live, but to share the good news of Jesus wherever you have placed us. We seek forgiveness for all the times we have walked in our own way, embracing the world and looking to self rather than to you. Forgive us. We seek your guidance and help to live in the light, to have fellowship with you. Help us to walk as you did, as we pursue you in our daily walk with you, that those around us will know that we have been with you and that you dwell in us. We pray for an ever outpouring of your Spirit in our lives, that we will be transformed from the inside out as you dwell in us, as you empower us, as you encourage us. And we don't do this alone, Lord Jesus. You have brought this community together to do this together. And we thank you. And it is in this wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.